Show. Listen live on the freeradio.com app.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What do you want first, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, I'd say this is fairly bad news. Most millennials, looking at you, Audrey and Ian, don't know just how bad the Holocaust was.
Ian, what do you think about that?
I think they should go back to school.
Yeah, I feel like that's like one of the first things that you learn on repeat. All of the movies that have ever been made are about the Holocaust. Like, as far as war movies are concerned that we grew up with,
I think history makes it pretty clear how bad of a incident that
was. Nazis are pretty bad.
Yeah. Horrible.
Like, we couldn't...
Horrible.
Like, quite terrifying.
Like, as the world... Like, when it comes to, like, everything for about a 40-year... I would say not even a 40. Let's say almost like a 70-year span post-World War II. Every bad guy in a movie was like a Nazi.
I feel like I don't believe this study.
I mean,
well, there's no way.
Is it because the History Channel is doing Ancient Aliens and Pawn Stars only, and they have gotten rid of all the World War II programming, which I used to watch with my dad every night?
We shouldn't depend on the TV box to educate us. That's what school is for. But they say 63% of young adults in the U.S. aren't aware of the death toll of the Holocaust. Oof. Do you guys know how many people got killed in the Holocaust?
Like 40,000, I'll guess.
No, millions. Millions
about?
Passed what, away.
I believe like 20 million?
Yeah, I believe it was 40 million. Yeah.
6 million people directly from the Holocaust.
Okay.
From the Holocaust.
Okay, so but like the 30s and 40s combined, I feel like was just a murderous year for everything happening over in Europe. Like there was just so much chaos going in China and Russia. Like,
but
just,
it all stems, I mean, from what the Germans were doing and the Nazis and the Holocaust, right? 50% of respondents reported seeing Holocaust denial or distortion posts on the internet and social media. 11% believe that Jewish people were responsible for
it.
I mean, so again,
there's no way.
The only reason why, because this is a pretty dark story, right? The only reason why I bring this up is because it's necessary for these facts to be available to everyone at all times, because if you don't know history, you're bound to
repeat it.
Thank you. Yes.
Also,
that's kind of shocking.
You know, I mean, it's not just millennials. There's like plenty of heads of states in a couple backwater countries across the world who are also denying it as well, which is pretty damn disgusting.
6 million people killed in the concentration camps.
That
Six
is so crazy.
Million.
That's so crazy, specifically that it's millennial driven that the study is, you know, targeted towards. I think because all of us have primarily millennials have been out of school for a while.
Right.
So is that just means that we just like our brains just go.
No, I think it's cherry picking what you want to educate people on. And it really sucks. So hopefully, you know, this study, which is, it's eye opening and it's shocking, will wake people up to the fact that it's necessary to educate people in a big way.
Continuously.
Some good news today
also,
as well.
Just one last thing.
Yeah.
Nazis will always be bad, and another group of people is not responsible for holding you back or your group of people's dismay.
You are correct, sir.
Yes. So that is never going to be true. So let's all just remember that.
Some good news today. Consumer spending in the United States rose in August, which is the fourth straight month that has increased, according to government figures that came out on Wednesday. The Commerce Department said in a report that retail and food services were up 0.6% last month to $537.5 billion. The August total is 5.1% higher than it was last year.
Consumer spending?
Yeah. Which is really interesting.
How
and the increase from July was 2.4% higher year to year, the department said. So,
because I have continuously been shopping online, so I feel like maybe I am at the forefront of this study.
Yeah,
this one is specifically
targeted
towards
me. This one's specifically for you, yes.
I mean, but you haven't been, you haven't been laid off. There's 20 million people who are still out of work.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. Well, but, I mean, this is good news.
People are finding ways, especially whenever you're in quarantine. Think you had no, essentially, connection to the outside world other than shopping and other than going on to Amazon and just being like, oh, this is only $5. Cool. Let me get my toilet paper from Amazon. Let me go on and get, these essential items
that
I need.
They're not talking about just like toilet paper. They're talking about consumer spending overall being up 5%, which is good or it's really bad. I don't know. Because it's like, are we just going really broke? Are we putting this on the
car? Let's go ahead and just max this bitch out.
I am broke, yes.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So there is a thirst trapping monkey I'm going to introduce you guys to here. There's a guy in Malaysia whose phone reportedly went missing, and the device turned up in his yard, loaded with a whole bunch of new pictures, including selfies taken by a monkey. The guy says he believes a monkey came into his house while he was asleep, took his phone outside where the primate played with the device and inadvertently snapped a whole bunch of selfies and videos. One video appears to show the monkey putting the phone in his mouth. But he found the thing, I guess, pushed the camera button, and was just in there.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy, if he's selling these photos or putting them out there, he's breaking copyright law, because that monkey,
he's the copyright holder.
He is the copyright
holder.
Like, legally, he is.
Yeah.
Whoever hits the shutter button.
So, Mahoney, I know that you're a big cruise fan.
I do love cruises.
Not necessarily Carnival cruises, nope. But there's plenty of people out there who enjoy Carnival cruises. 6 months after operation.
Maybe if I was 25.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's...
And single.
It's an attitude. Yeah. You know, where you're sort of like...
And I was ready to fight a bunch of...
Australians.
And Raider fans.
So after 6 months of the operational pause due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, Carnival Cruise announced on Wednesday additional voyage cancellations into late spring of next year. If you recall when this whole thing started, they were booking cruises for August,
yep,
which obviously has come and gone.
They said they booked crazy amounts.
It was
for
like
August.
Wasn't it like 600% from the previous August or something like that? Like
insane.
People were lining up, could not wait to get back on Carnival cruise ships. Despite all of, you know, like the poop cruises that have happened over the years and things like that. Carnival cruises, though, canceling well into the spring. So Carnival Magic, itineraries from Miami canceled until March 13th of 2021. Carnival Paradise, itineraries from Tampa canceled until March 19th as well. The Carnival Valor until April 29th. Carnival Spirit until May 16th. And they also have one sailing from Singapore to Brisbane. And that is canceled through June 12th. So we're talking about mid next year.
Mahoney, wow. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm not getting on a cruise until they let everybody who works on those cruises that are still stuck in the ocean and have been for 6 months now and not let off. I'm not getting on a cruise until they're off.
I mean, a lot of those stories have, I mean, there's, I don't think there's a lot of that left.
Well, thankfully, but it went on for months.
I mean,
right?
I think we just talked about it a month ago. Yeah.
It's pretty nutty, but I have no desire to get on a cruise right now, but I'm also not the aficionado that you are. How do you feel about this?
I would have gotten on, like I said, if there was a vaccine or if they would have tested everybody who got on, like, you know, you had to get like one of those tests immediately to see.
I guess if you kind of bubbled it like they're doing with the NBA.
Because it is kind
else,
of a bubble.
Then, yeah.
Maybe you don't go to ports. Maybe it's just kind of like you go to their private island, because all the major cruise companies have their own private island. Maybe then in that case.
Wait,
but
does Carnival Cruise have their own private island?
I think they all do. I think Royal Caribbean, Carnival,
it's
Disney.
It's like the trash pile that floats around in the ocean.
It's just like all the plastic that's floating.
somewhere in the Pacific, yeah.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, you guys are back in the studio. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it sucks to know that Mahoney's actually wearing pants. How about you guys just make the studio a pantsless studio?
Message deleted.
Again, we had some guy call about being all excited about Mahoney wearing pants just yesterday. Mahoney is not wearing pants. He is wearing his delightful shorts. And I believe
they are the same ones as yesterday.
The same shorts that you've been wearing every single day this week.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine.
Yeah.
It's actually, I feel like.
I don't sweat in these.
Are you doing like a daily smell test on these though?
Yeah. I mean, I'm washing them like every other day.
Is this your new uniform?
Kind of. Okay. I really like how comfortable these shorts are. They're Tommy Bahama shorts as well.
They don't stay up, though.
I put a belt on today.
You did put a belt on today.
You found one? Okay.
They've literally been falling down every day this week, and we have seen a lot of Mahoney ass.
Sorry about that. But, it's nice to be back in the studio. It's nice to be broadcasting from here. And, you know, it is a change that having to get dressed immediately. Because prior to this, you know, we would be doing the show from
Would you call this getting dressed? I mean, you're wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt as usual.
It's a very nice shirt, Dave.
And then you just throw on the same shorts and slides.
Okay. The shoes, you should put on a pair of shoes, even if they're your holy shoes.
We don't want to see your toes is what we're saying. You have weird feet.
I'm doing my part to save the environment by not wearing socks.
That's not how it works.
I would even appreciate the holy socks at this point.
But this is a step up. It's in the right direction because, you know, until we would turn on the cameras at twitch.tv/Dave and Mahoney each day at 8 a.m.
It's twitch.tv.
That's what I said.
You said twitch.tv. /Dave Mahoney.
You just didn't hear the dot. It's silent.
Twitch.
Please leave a message.
There were no pants on before that. That's all I was saying. Yeah.
If you could play any game for the first time ever all over again, which game would it be?
Message deleted.
Spin the Bottle was so exhilarating when I was a kid.
No, it was so nerve-wracking.
I know, that's what I mean. It was.
No, I hated it.
I wasn't a fan.
I hated it. Because then you had to kiss the one person, if it landed, that you didn't want to kiss. And then you would always.
And that was me.
Yeah, and then you had the person who kissed the person. And then the rumors would swirl.
Uh-huh.
No, I hated it. I hated it.
I never even got invited to play Spin the Bottle.
Oh, bud.
You didn't?
No.
You want to play right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Just me and you one-on-one?
I always
7 minutes in heaven in the closet.
Can we just spin a wine bottle?
This started as a full wine bottle, and now it's empty. Next thing you know, they're in love.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I got a BMW 3 Series. I just got a new job, and it was pretty awesome. And I was like, you know what? Why not? I'm going to go ahead and buy this car straight up. Well, I financed it. But when they were in the room with me talking over all the numbers, you know, that process takes so long. It's crazy. But they were like, hey, you want gap insurance? And I said, no. The next week, I totaled it.
Message deleted.
That sucks. So if you're not familiar, gap insurance is when you buy, say, a new car. Obviously, the second you drive
it
off the lot,
it's still a scam.
It depreciates. Of course it is.
Always a scam.
It's supposed to be what, you know, the depreciation is from the second you drive it off the lot. So if you total a $40,000 car and now all of a sudden it's worth $36,000, you're not stuck for that $4,000.
I still will never get gap insurance.
I'll take my chances.
Always. I still just heard that, and I would just, like, my eyes were crossed, and I would do exactly what that guy said. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm, let's go ahead. Just give me that B&W. I'd be so confused.
Have you bought a car on your own yet?
So I actually just paid off my car.
Congratulations.
Did you
go into the dealership yourself and
my
do all
my father helped with that. Yeah, he was just like wheeling and dealing, and I was just sitting there like, oh yeah, this all sounds really great, which kind of sucks because truly whenever I go in and do that for myself for the very first time, as I'm sure whenever I have kids and I need to get a bigger car, I'm going to get duped. I know I will.
Well,
I can't even get my oil changed without getting duped.
Wearing a tactical vest. It'll be fine.
He didn't know anything.
It doesn't
you
matter. Just have him stand in the background.
And just make him squat every 30 seconds.
We need a lower.
Lower rate.
For me.
$1,000 lower. Only.
Like my wife's dad. I feel like the day that I earned his respect, because he's an engineer, so right.
He's
very smart, especially right. when it comes to numbers, because he's a software engineer, so he can write a program to find the cheapest version of this car in America.
Oh wow!
Really? Wow, okay.
And I ended up when I got my wife her car. I got, I knew the guy who, the GM of the car dealership.
Yeah, you didn't negotiate a great deal.
Oh,
you just had a hookup.
Yeah,
you just had a guy.
But at the end of the day, when he found out what we paid for that car, he was like, you can't get a deal like that anywhere. I'm like, well, I can.
Oh.
You just had a hookup. You just had a guy.
But I earned his respect that day.
We did an endorsement for that dealership for 12 years.
Well, yeah, so you know.
Please
and I'm a great negotiator.
My wife, when we were in the middle of dating, I found out she liked frogs. All of a sudden, I started getting her frogs everything. She didn't like frogs. She just thought they were cute that one time. She didn't mean she wanted frog statues.
Message deleted.
Oh, but you tried, hon.
You started getting her frog statues?
I mean, people collect certain things.
Come on.
No,
we collect
sweet.
Wiener dog memorabilia,
which is also weird. You guys don't have a wiener dog.
Well, we will once we have a kid. Like several years after we have a kid, we'll get a wiener dog.
So that's the plan.
Yeah,
baby wiener dog.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you don't want the dog to feel like he's playing second fiddle to the baby.
Dogs have to get over it. That's
part
of the.
But if you get a baby dog and a baby at the same time, that is a disaster.
I'm trying to work on that right now.
That's a lot of responsibility.
She's gonna come in here. She has a baby and a puppy at the same time.
I'm going to start drinking whiskey. This is going to be mommy's happy hour.
Just give that lady a good deal so she gets off the lot.
Yeah.
Dave and Mahoney. Every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
What's the matter?
Would you guys be down with robot waiters? So this is a thing that has gained at least some prominence in South Korea while all the coronavirus pandemic is going on. It's a digital contactless service device, and it'll just, roll on over to you, and there's a screen on it, and you touch what you want, and it brings it back over to you, and it's just sort of, you can summon it, and it's a thing.
No.
It's a thing.
Especially, okay, I think right now during the pandemic, I feel like everybody's like, oh, the contactless, like that would actually be really, really great, but I don't like the idea of cutting out jobs that my friends have, and like the service industry friends.
And the human contact. I mean, there's something to be said about a server definitely making an experience at a restaurant worse sometimes, but for the majority of the time, I'd say they make it better, right? Like they personalize the experience.
If you're a really good server, yeah absolutely. Yeah. And the one thing that you cannot get from a robot that you can get from a person is a...
phone number?
Well, a phone number, no. Or I was going to say a recommendation.
No. Oh, yeah, I love a recommendation.
That's the... Yeah, I feel like that's a very important part. I would like to see a option for both. You know, I would like some days, like if I'm just not feeling it and I want to go out, I could just hit a button and the robot comes over. Other days where I'm feeling outgoing and chatty, we've got a person.
Whenever he decides to put on pants. Or just, what about a food runner? Food runner.
Could you just swipe, have an actual server wearing an iPad, and like if you don't want to hear the specials, you just swipe past it? Kind of like an Instagram story that you don't want to watch?
Oh, yeah.
I like the idea of a robot food runner.
Yeah.
Because that, like, I love, like, when you go to, like, a Korean barbecue place or a Japanese, you know, yeah. some of the sushi places that have the things that, like, zoom it out to you on, like, a race car. Yeah. This is the future we deserve.
I kind of go there just for that experience.
I feel like George Jetson up in that bitch.
Yes. It's so true.
Mahoney just sits at the end of the conveyor belt with his mouth open. So this is terrifying. An American military member is facing 10 years in a German jail for allegedly going on a bar crawl with COVID-19. Infected 23 people, exposed 710 to the virus. So the public prosecutors opened an investigation after the woman identified only as Yasmin A. from the U.S. went out partying while awaiting test results after vacationing.
Oh, so she was waiting.
Yeah, she didn't know for sure. Went out after a vacation in Greece in early September with a sore throat. On Tuesday, it was reported that there had been recorded 3 more COVID-19 infections in people who frequented bars visited by this 26-year-old. And so they're saying 23 people got infected as a result of her going out. 10 years in a German jail seems a little steep, though.
If somebody dies.
Like if she...
Well, I mean, it's kind of like not necessarily... Because I remember us talking about this at the beginning. It's our thought process was, I mean, it's intentional. You're intentionally going out with... I mean, you could be doing harm.
Yeah, there's malice behind that.
If she knew that she had it and she was doing this, I would understand it if somebody died. But if you're talking about 10 years, she didn't have the test results back yet.
I mean, 10 years is a very long time.
Germany is no joke, man. They don't mess around over there.
Yes, not.
But,
yeah.
Like I would say, you know, if somebody dies, then there should be penalties. But if not, then, you know, then she dodges a bullet.
Yeah.
On that one. But it's just dumb because if you've got a sore throat, you're awaiting the test results. And you're like, you know what? I need to go to a bar crawl and go to as many bars as possible.
At any
time. Just, you're just stupid.
Very.
You know, can we just like.
Yeah, stupid.
You know, I don't know, man.
Just stay inside. It's kind of like the same premise of if you have a sore throat, if you have the flu, don't go to work. If you're feeling bad, don't go out. It doesn't matter if we're in a pandemic or not. Just don't go out if you feel like ick.
If I'm feeling bad, or not even feeling bad, but I take my temperature every day before we come in here. You know, like that's one of the things.
You do?
Thank you for that, Mahoney.
Every day and every night. Mostly because, you know.
Was your body at a simmer this morning?
No, I mean, my body's always hot.
Damn. You know, lukewarm setting in there?
But its temperature was right on 98.3.
So. Which kind of thermometer do you use? Like up top thermometer from the back
side?
The butt.
No.
I was going to say.
The butt thermometer.
There's a reason why you do it twice a day. Huh?
I can't reach back there.
Wife.
But it does suction cup onto my shower for some reason.
You've been taking your temperature for an awfully long time in there, Mahoney.
Here, Mahoney.
Cover your ears.
Mahoney, are you ready for a round of cover your ears?
Of course, Dave. I win this game every time.
You don't?
I play Audrey. She's a nice young lady, but I am superior when it comes to knowing
you are sitting here
bad covers
lying.
Of good songs.
Oh my God, you're such a liar.
So Mahoney managed to eke out a victory earlier this week. Audrey, this is your chance at redemption. I think it's safe to say we are all rooting for you.
Thanks. I really hope I take it home.
30 seconds of each one of these songs. Just go ahead and ring in by quickly saying your name when you think you know the answer. We're looking for the artist and the song for a full point. If you get the artist or the song, you get a half point. Again, 30 seconds of each one of these covers, which people have think that they've performed well and then uploaded to the internet. You guys can decide whether or not they actually did a good job. Here is song number one.
Audrey.
That's 30 seconds. I didn't hate that, actually.
Really?
I didn't hate that.
Is that the original artist?
That's the demo. Yeah.
Is that the demo?
Audrey?
I'm sweaty. Is that Pearl Jam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know the song?
And it is... Oh, God. It's not... I don't know. I do, but I don't. Because I don't want to say the wrong one, and I know it's not the one that's instantly coming to my head.
You have to say one.
I have to? Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to say Jeremy. I know it's not.
Okay, so you get a half point.
Half point.
Yeah, Jeremy is incorrect. Mahoney?
That is Yellow Ledbetter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we both get halfies?
Each very nice. Happy, yep. All right, here we go on to number two. Good luck.
Some will die in hot pursuit and fiery other crashes. Some will die in hot pursuit while sifting through my ashes. Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies.
Yeah. All right, we're just going to stop it right there. That's 30 seconds. Mahoney, about 1 second in, you ring.
Yeah,
what
that's
do you got?
Butthole Surfers.
Uh-huh. What's the song?
It's Butthole Surfers. What? How did I just forget it?
5 seconds.
Pepper.
Oh, no!
I don't know why.
I'm so just, mad. I was like, wow. Please.
Because I was thinking about, I was going to comment about the singing because it very much sounded like DJ Stephen Hawkins at the very beginning.
Did not.
What? It did not. It did. I Stephen Hawkins got some fat beats when he was alive.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That's not an insult. I'm a huge Stephen Hawkins fan. I saw that movie with Eddie Redmayne.
Okay. What's the name of it?
I don't know.
Okay, so Mahoney has
I saw that it was a movie.
Mahoney has a
see the movie.
Point and a half. Audrey, you have a half point. Audrey, you need to get something here, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
This place, cause there's a hunger, longing to escape from the life I live when I'm awake. So let's go there.
Audrey.
Let's make our escape.
Can you take me higher, Chris Stapp? Yes, please. Creed? The arms. Wait, no. Wait. No, can you take me higher?
Yeah.
Look, higher. It's just higher.
It's Scott Stapp,
yes.
Not Chris Stapp. But that's fine.
Gosh. I'm sweaty.
You're trying to confuse him with Chris Stapleton?
Oh, God. Honestly, wouldn't be mad about that.
All right. So you have a point and a half. Mahoney, you have a point and a half. It all comes down to this one. We are going to the bonus round.
Hit it.
Good luck to you both.
I'm so nervous. Audrey.
Didn't hate that either. Mahoney for the win.
Oh my God, he doesn't know it.
Oh, he forgot it.
You don't know.
I thought I had it.
He forgot it.
I thought that was Cher.
Cranberry Zombie.
Oh, yes. Off the top rope. Audrey comes in.
Oh God, that was such an awful cover.
You thought it was Cher at first, didn't you?
You thought it was Cher.
I thought it was Cher, and then it wasn't. And I couldn't get Cher out of my head.
That was a banger.
Much like Midnight Nights as a young man.
It sounds like Believe. It's like on the background of Believe by Cher.
Yeah.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So can you imagine just buying a $7 million house and going, nah, I decided I don't really like it. That is the life of Jennifer Lopez and her fiancé, A-Rod. They just offloaded their Malibu beach house for $6.775 million just a year after they purchased it. They bought it from Jeremy Piven back in 2019.
Oh, wow.
They made a small profit of approximately $175,000, which would be life-changing money for the rest of us. But they were certainly hoping for more. They were initially shooting for $1 million payday when they first listed the home for $7.99 million in July. But they never even really lived in this house, never really stayed there much. They just bought it, and they went, never mind. Malibu's boring.
Malibu's awesome.
Malibu is awesome. $7 million.
Did you see a picture of the house, though?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
It looks great.
It looks beautiful, but I actually don't see them living in it.
Well, like, yeah. It seems that's like, why they never did. Yeah.
It doesn't seem, I don't know if I want to use the word luxurious enough, but it just seemed like a little bit more like a normal house.
It doesn't seem private enough, right? Yeah. Like, yes. It seems like it's like right on the beach.
It's private enough for Jeremy Piven.
Sure.
It's not private enough for J-Lo and A-Rod.
Right. Like, Jeremy Piven, I think, kind of wants to get recognized.
Yeah.
Where it's probably fairly annoying for J-Lo at this point. A-Rod, too, but J-Lo, definitely.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they are more private island type of people, not private beach type.
Yeah, or like the sort of house that's behind like four different gates that you have to get to.
Yes.
And a moat.
Why doesn't anyone have moats these days? Is it illegal to have them? I mean, you can have alligators in Florida and stuff. I mean, why couldn't you have, like, I don't know, I mean, a moat with alligators in it?
Yeah, I want a drawbridge.
Or piranhas.
Hell yeah.
I think I'd go piranhas.
Piranhas seem like you have no chance if you fall in there with the piranhas.
Exactly.
I feel like they're going straight for
intruders.
The bits.
Moats are legal, though.
They are legal.
Yes, you can have build a moat. Yes. Depending on your HOA, obviously.
So you have to submit your plans to your HOA. How many alligators do you want? Mm-hmm. Okay, are they freshwater alligators? Okay, good. You are approved. Get your moat. Jim Carrey is going to play Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live, which Jim Carrey doing anything is normally pretty awesome, so I'm down for this. And Jim Carrey has never... He was never a cast member of Saturday Night Live. He tried out back in the day.
He was on in Living Color.
He tried out for Saturday Night Live back in the day. Got rejected.
You're joking. I thought he was.
He would never. If he would have made it onto SNL during that era, he would never be the star that he is today.
I think you're right. Grinds.
Living Color was a cultural phenomenon.
It's perfect for him, too. Yeah.
Interesting. I never knew that.
So Lorne Michaels said that Maya Rudolph is coming back. Alec Baldwin is returning, of course, as Donald Trump, because he does that so well. And Jim Carrey is going to be doing Joe Biden. So,
and he's on for the entire season, right? Not just like a one and done?
Yeah, it makes it sound like that. So they're going to have a limited studio audience, but people are going to be there. And October 3rd. Like, do you have to vet the people that are going to be in the studio audience
They test them.
No, I'm not talking about that. Like, to make sure they have like really loud laughs.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because now that there's 30% the people that there normally is.
Because one of the few shows that has people back just happened this last week with Bill Maher, and he had an audience.
Oh, he did have an audience.
He did have. Interesting. And they tested everybody who went in before the show started. And I will say, you know, for having like, you know, a tenth of the audience that he normally has, people still got pretty loud.
Still
just put the mics very, very close.
Yeah, you just turn up the crowd noise a little bit.
Yeah. Or just have a laugh track. Yeah, just.
But it was funny, though, because he could say, I could see exactly who's laughing at what jokes.
So is there trouble in paradise for Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton?
I hope not. I like both
of
them.
Me too, yeah.
So they're feeling suffocated and stressed from the whole quarantine thing, according to a source who told Us Weekly.
I'll get it.
They're
both
alone,
stretched
though.
To the limit.
I don't believe Us Weekly.
You don't?
No.
Did you know that Gwen Stefani is 6 years older than Blake Shelton?
I did know that,
yeah,
yes.
She's 50.
She looks amazing. She looks 28.
Oh, yeah, my gosh, yes.
He's 44. Insane. He also looks older than 44,
he's
doesn't
got that
he?
Vince yes. Vaughn yeah. thing going yeah. on, you know, just yeah. tall. You know, it's like taller guys, you know, because I'm about the same size as Vince Vaughn and Blake Shelton.
Look at him putting
this about 6'5".
You're not 6'5". Okay. You're not
6'5". I am 6'5".
On his player's card. Yeah.
We actually measured you one day, and you're
and
like 6'2 and a half.
6'4 and three quarters, and that was in the afternoon, not in the morning, but that's besides the point. But what? Taller guys,
he insists you're taller in the morning. It's a lie.
That is not a lie.
Why? Do you think it's because you stretch out whenever you're laying horizontal?
Because your bones compress. It's like when you go to space. You grow a couple inches when you go to space. They don't say where you grow those couple inches, but I can only hope and believe. Why do you think I love space so much? That being said, Vince Vaughn, Blake Shelton, tall guys, the way we carry weight is different, you know? So it's like, I think it ages us, because it's like we can fall into that false sense of like, oh, no, it's fine.
No.
You know, I look good. And then all of a sudden, we hit a wall, and then we look like Vince Vaughn, Blake Shelton.
No, you look old because you wear Tommy Bahama shirts. He looks old because... I don't know why, honestly.
Because he drinks whiskey all day, every day.
True. But I really hope that they're not bad off. I like them
I don't believe that they are. I think that
Do you really believe that your junk grows 2 inches when you go to space?
Absolutely, it does, at least.
Space. the final dong tier. Now I understand why they call it the captain's log.
You make $5 million for 6 weeks worth of work. You can pretend to talk with some food.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Celeb Dread.
The one thing you've dreaded from the moment you made the decision to come here.
You got a lot of nerve, boy, I'll tell you.
So for those of you that are new to the show, first off, thanks for giving it a shot. We certainly appreciate you. But Celeb Dread is a feature where interviews go really badly. And one thing that you'll notice about this radio show is that we don't do a whole lot of celebrity interviews because most of them are kind of cringeworthy, right? Either the person that's being interviewed has very little interest to be there or they're trying to sell you something that you don't really want to buy. Oh, cool. Turtle from Entourage wrote a book. Let me get that right away. Is it necessary? Probably not. So we tend to not waste your time with it. But one thing that when we were talking about, because somebody had suggested that we do more interviews, and we're like, nah, you know, I think we're good on that. And we started talking about how bad most interviews are. Then we're like, you know what we should do is a feature about how awful interviews are. Because we've had our fair share of bad interviews over the years. Exactly. And even some really good, charming people sometimes just have off days.
And we're talking about, on both sides, we're talking about the interviewers and the interviewees. I mean, you're talking top-tier interviewers, like the one we're going to be featuring today, who is Linda Cohen of ESPN fame, one of the staples of ESPN and a phenomenal broadcaster.
The fact that she joined ESPN and SportsCenter in 1992, when it was still like, women shouldn't be talking about sports.
Atta girl.
She has been crushing it for decades at
ESPN.
She's amazing.
She's my hall pass also. And my
is she really?
She is. My girlfriend is well aware of my infatuation with Linda.
So she's 60 years old. Do you think that she has gotten better looking with age?
Oh, definitely.
I think
and
so
she's
too.
Changing the hair
so
too.
Oh, yeah.
Looks amazing.
Yeah. So we're all a big fan of Linda Cohen. And that's where I think we'll probably all end up on this one. But it's Ken Griffey Jr. who she's interviewing, who I think we're also probably all a big fan of,
yes.
Right? Ken Griffey Jr. is awesome.
I was more of a senior fan.
Were you?
Oh, okay.
Look at you.
Okay. Which,
look
and also, if this is a bad interview, wouldn't you think he's had media training? How could he have a bad interview?
But this is years after he stopped playing. This is back in...
This is 2014, yeah. So he's on SportsCenter with Linda Cohen, and it's the 25th anniversary of Upper Deck being released. And so he's there to do an interview and promote it.
Somebody created the Upper Decker 25 years ago?
No, not the Upper Decker.
I thought that's been around for generations.
Like baseball cards, man.
Baseball cards, yeah. It's different than pooping in a top part of a toilet.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's what an Upper Decker is.
Oh, my gosh.
Did that ever happen to any of your friends in college?
No, sir.
Yeah, so somebody poops in the toilet tank where the fresh water is supposed to be.
It's
and it's just every time you flush, it's just more poop every time. It just
maybe
never
that was
stops.
Maybe that was something in the 90s.
Oh,
maybe
my gosh.
Are you thing? All right, so here we go. I have two clips for you, and you guys trying to figure out here who is more of the jerk. And this isn't like a contest. It's just, let's just listen to it and dissect it together. Ken Griffey Jr. on SportsCenter with Linda Cohen.
I used to cover this guy when I worked in Seattle before coming to ESPN. So pleased to be joined by 13-time Major League Baseball All-Star Ken Griffey Jr., who is here on SportsCenter Live on behalf of Upper Deck. How you doing, Ken?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Growing up, you had a big baseball card collection. Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, one. My dad.
Your dad, of course. Besides your dad, were there somebody else?
Nope.
All right.
Didn't know anybody else.
Yeah, and I mean, you're one of the best at going into that home plate hard. You were one of the best at that. Before we let you go, Ken, we know you've been doing a ton of interviews for Upper Deck. We have a few Twitter questions for you.
All right, you guys ready for the Twitter questions? Because so far it's been going well, huh?
Well, I mean, it seems you're on a delay a little bit in his defense.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
No.
But now it's about
to get
bad.
It's not great. I mean, like, if you're in Linda Cohen's shoes, you know, and she's a pro, she picks it up. She can tell that she's getting one and two-word answers out of him. But so she's a pro. She's moving it forward. Is this where it goes off the rails, Ian?
It does, especially for Ken, yes. Does not want to answer questions.
Twitter questions with Ken Griffey Jr.
Which young outfielder do you see today most resembles your playing style?
McCutcheon,
Andrew McCutcheon. He's a good one. Here's another one. Who do you think is the best player in Major League Baseball right now? All around best player.
McCutcheon.
You guys buds? And looking back on your career, Ken Griffey Jr., what do you think will be remembered for far above all else?
Smile.
That's a good thing. I'm going to let you go with that, that smile.
All right.
Ken Griffey Jr., thanks for joining us on SportsCenter. Good luck the rest of the way in everything you do.
Thank you. All right, you take it easy.
I mean, he wasn't
rude. No, bad on him. He wasn't rude.
He wasn't rude. He just was not on.
Not being on is rude.
But he didn't even want to be there, clearly. Like, I mean, you can at least give a sentence of an answer.
Between those two clips that I played combined, how long do you think that was?
It felt like an hour.
30 seconds.
1 minute and 45 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
1 minute and 42 seconds. So yeah, it felt like an hour. That was less than 2 minutes.
I was going to say 30 seconds just because he wasn't even giving any answers.
There was nothing there, right?
She was a rock star, though.
Assigning the blame, that one's going on you, Ken Griffey Jr.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
So if you've been thinking to yourself, as I'm sure you have, I need a Ferrari, but I want an everyday driver Ferrari.
Are they making a Ferrari minivan now?
Ferrari. You know, it wouldn't be that ridiculous if they were, considering they have. Have you seen, like, the Rolls-Royce SUVs?
Yeah,
no.
They're ridiculous.
Are they?
Yes, they're ridiculous. They have the Bentley SUVs now, the Maserati SUVs.
I mean, Porsche kind of started the luxury, or the super luxury brand SUV.
But they're even kind of still small. Yeah, like, they're compact SUVs.
Yeah. Well, this is not an SUV, but this is a everyday driver Ferrari, and it's only $220,000.
So cheap for a Ferrari.
It actually is cheap for a Ferrari.
Okay.
But they're saying that it is a sportier visual makeover. It's a Portofino M, includes an upgraded 620 horsepower 3.9 liter V8 turbo motor, up 20 horsepower from its predecessor, a new 5-position drive mode selector with race mode. And as you'd expect, it is very fast, but it looks just like, to me, because I guess I'm an idiot when it comes to Ferraris, it just looks like every other Ferrari.
Yeah.
Just put that thing in race mode your everyday commute.
As I'm driving my 13 miles to work. Ring, ding, ding, ding. I mean, when I think about an everyday driver, I think about something that's probably a little more comfortable, right?
I think about
right?
a Camry or yes. a yes. RAV4 or, yeah. or like a Highlander or something.
Yeah.
Long distance, but not like comfy.
Not something that you have to like barrel roll out of to get to get out and in. I mean, the thing's just about, you know, it's 4 inches off the ground. Just seems uncomfortable.
I think that's why my next shift is I'm moving away from a sedan and probably into an SUV for my next car purchase.
I thought you were going to get the Corvette. You're just
that
hinting
may be
at
my
the
weekend drive.
Not an everyday.
Not a full-time midlife crisis. A part-time midlife crisis.
My wife would not let me buy a Corvette. I mean, but they start. You get a Corvette, I think, starting at 50, which is.
See, this dude's priced him out.
Oh,
told you. He's already priced him out.
Oh, you're acting like those new Corvettes aren't cool as hell?
They look like
Lamborghinis.
No, they look like Ferraris.
Lamborghini, Ferrari, same difference.
No, it's not. Totally different.
It's all Italian.
Okay.
Except for this is American.
So if you're going to be a thief, this is the way to do it. A thief over in Hong Kong made off with a collection of stamps and calligraphy worth a reported $600 million.
What?
In a daytime heist.
How?
So a thief struck an apartment of a collector over in China, in Hong Kong, and it took just 2 hours to steal the staggering haul. The goods stolen were worth 4 billion Hong Kong dollars, which is 600 million U.S., and included calligraphy by Chairman Mao Zedong. Who's Chairman Mao Zedong?
Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong. Yeah. I was reading as Mao Zedong. I was like, that's hilarious.
I love how you said that
Chairman
very Italian.
Mao is?
Yeah.
Five He's the leader of China.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry.
Mao Zedong.
Five extremely valuable antique stamps and revolutionary items from mainland China, as well, according to the South China Morning Post. But $600 million in a single fall.
Put it in a safety deposit box, man. Why are you keeping it at your apartment?
Yeah, why is it on your like counter at your apartment? You'd think that it'd be in a safe or something. But
post it up on the fridge.
Yeah. Also, how do you resell stamps that are one of a kind
Black
that are worth $600 million?
You got to find, there's like one guy out there who's willing to pay that.
Who probably paid for this heist to happen.
He's probably going to not sell them and then actually just use them at some point.
Just use them. What a screw you to Mr. Zedong if you sent him a letter with his own stamp on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, Snapchat is registering young people to vote. More than 400,000 people have registered to vote via Snapchat, Of them, 57% between the ages of 18 and 24, a demographic notoriously underrepresented at the voting booth. So the platform is expected to up its efforts. They're using high-profile stars from Snoop Dogg and Arnold Schwarzenegger and a bunch of other people in order to get people engaged and interested. And I think it's noble. I mean, everyone should have their voice heard, right? I mean, get Snapchat to register people to vote. Why not? It's good for everyone.
I'm not mad at Snapchat. Like, I don't use the platform. Ever since Instagram introduced stories many years ago, yeah. I think they kind of phased my use of Snapchat.
The Snapchat filters are still way better.
But Instagram has stepped their game up.
Yeah, they have stepped their game up with Instagram.
You just gotta go searching for them.
What's the one that you like?
Oh, I don't know. I'm on the cutie baby face right now.
Oh, that's one. Me too.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So, who's the best dancer on the show? Like, who can really cut a rug? Also, what the hell does cut a rug mean?
Message deleted.
It means that you were dancing with such ferocity that you actually cut a rug because your moves are just slicing
so
and dicing. Oh, yeah. Who is the best dancer on the show? I'll just start. Not me.
Not me.
No, it's probably Audrey.
No, it's definitely Audrey.
It's definitely.
There's no way.
No, we're all awful. But by default.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I feel like Ian could actually be a really great dancer.
I don't think he has any great dancing moves.
I really don't have many moves, but I have confidence, which permeates throughout a dance floor. So,
Ian, that's you and I have danced together, and you have moves.
Why, thank you, Audrey.
Actually, he spun me around once.
I do not remember that, so I don't know if Audrey was very good.
How very rude of you. You've never spun me around.
I remember our first dance, Ian.
I only dip you, Dave. No spins, just dips.
You know that I looked at you and I said, you spin me right round, baby, right round.
Nobody puts Dave in a corner.
There is nothing more, like, I would be more, like, less inclined to do than those Snapchat dances. Or not Snapchat, the TikTok dances.
Okay,
the TikTok dances.
Yeah, you have to choose. TikTok dance or line dance?
Line dance. I'm going line dance.
Yeah, Audrey?
All day.
Well, line dancing is going to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Not the renegade. So I'm going line dance.
I don't want a line dance, but I can do the electric slide.
I feel like...
Or the cha-cha slide. I feel
line
like
dancing
that's the better.
Is
that's the superior slide.
Line
dancing is designed for uncoordinated white people. So I feel like if I at least put myself to it, I could learn how to line dance. Because it's just like a...
Side, cross, side, toe.
See, you already know the combination.
And I love...
You just have to unlock it now.
Back, toe.
I love that, like, line dancing, they have incorporated, like the cha-cha slide does get played in country bars.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the one kind of, like, because is it a pop song? Is it a hip-hop song? I don't know what the cha-cha slide, what
genre. You know
what
genre. It is? It's a banger.
It is a banger.
It doesn't matter.
And
it's a banger.
My favorite part, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If I could open up an animal sanctuary for any animal, of course I would pick a sloth, right? You got a sloth sanctuary? I mean, how mellow would that be?
Message deleted.
It would be cool. The only thing is that I can tell you as a dad, the best part, or at least one of the best parts of being a dad, is when you open the door and return from a day's of work and they all excitedly run towards you and they're like, Daddy! Like, that is awesome. That doesn't happen with sloths.
I feel like sloths are just not really that slow. I feel like they got those big ass claws and they're just waiting. They're slowly waiting. They're setting a trap.
That's not a claw, is it?
I think that is a big ass claw.
I just thought it was a really long finger.
Yeah.
Really long banana shaped finger.
Do you know that thousands of sloths die a year because they mistake their other arm for a branch and just fall? I learned that the other day.
Oh, that's so bad.
Isn't that so? It's like you have all this time to recognize that that's your arm and not a branch, but you still try to grab it and then you fall from the tree.
She's like, oh, crap.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I really don't get all these fancy gender reveal parties. I got two kids. When the first was about to be born, my friends and family were wondering what it was going to be. So I texted them and said, it doesn't have a... It's that simple.
Message deleted.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone really gets excited about a gender reveal except for the parents, right?
Of course.
Even if it's your brother or sister that's doing
maybe the grandparents.
The grandparents, I think they're just happy.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's like excited whether it's a boy or a girl, whatever. I think they're just excited that, hey, here's a new baby. But then after like the first one, it just kind of.
No, I think that it's exciting whether you're finding out the gender of a baby.
If I were to invite you to a gender reveal.
I hope it would just be a cake cutting because I don't want to see you miss and hit a baseball, Dave.
Well, so that's what I mean. Like now you're trying to dictate how I can reveal the gender of my unborn child?
Actually, that would be pretty good because I always hope it's a boy whenever the men miss. I really do.
Do you know what we should have is like when the kid turns 18, we should have an a-hole reveal. Like, did you raise this kid right or did they turn out to be an a-hole? And then if they did, you turn into the pinata.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
In case you didn't think that 2020 was already exhausting enough, there is something called woke fishing. Have you guys heard of this?
I have not.
I haven't either.
It is a dating term, and it was coined by somebody who works for Vice, and it describes someone who pretends to be more progressive than they really are. So we were talking about things that you've lied to a significant other about earlier in the week, where some people talked about that one guy said that he voted for Clinton when he really voted for Trump because he thought that the girl was more liberal than he was. Mm-hmm. But this is just in general. And we've talked to some people where they're actually in relationships and they get pressure from their significant other to like post stuff on social media and things like that to prove how woke they are and everything else. Look, I have no problem with like people being woke and everything else, but don't fake the funk, man. Like that just seems dumb.
That's trapping.
Yeah.
Especially because I guess it might just be for like a one night kind of thing. But as a woman, sometimes I hope that people are going onto these Hinge. Like that, oh my God,
like
I'm so married.
A really good name
I am
for
so
Isn't
married.
That a band? In the arms of an angel. No, that's lips of an angel. Lips of an angel, whatever.
I'm so married. I don't even know what the names are. Bumble, whatever, that people are actually going there with the intent to actually maybe find love, not just hook up. So if you're planning on having more than one date, you're going to end up getting exposed at some point.
You would think so, right? Because it's like, hey, do you want to go to a dinner movie? They're like, no, let's go protest. You're like, dang it. Fine.
I guess.
I am not like I said, you know, yeah, don't fake the funk on that. But also, if you're in a relationship, don't push your, like, if your partner isn't doing everything your exact way. I
agree.
Like, let people do things in their own way. Otherwise, you just kind of become a fascist yourself. And that's not right. Also, great idea for an app. So, Audrey said, Hinder. Mm-hmm. I feel like we start Stumble. It's a dating app for clumsy people.
Oh, whoa. Everybody has just like stub toes.
And it would be the worst.
Like ailments.
Everyone shows up with a cast on.
And it's the worst lovemaking ever. Everybody's teeth are just banging into each other. You're trying to make out. It's just not
good.
Hips
popping. Yeah. Oh, honestly.
So former bachelor Nick Vale is acting like a baller. He just bought his first house. And he dropped a cool $1.72 million on it. And then you look at the specs and you're like, I mean, I saw the pictures. It's a nice place, obviously, for $2
million. It looks like a concrete tomb. You really like it?
I mean, it's modern. It's very modern.
Some people
It's not personally my style, but I get how like it's obviously very new and nicely done.
Yeah.
But it's three bedroom, three bath, 2,400 square feet, which seems pretty small considering it was almost $2 million.
Yeah.
So you're paying, what, $1,000 a square foot?
L.A. or whatever, that's actually not too bad, all things considered.
Said, 6 years ago, I left a career I really liked for a chance to do something I loved. I did it at a point in my life where the expectation was to settle in and live the life I had. 6 years later, I'm buying my first house and doing what I love. It's never too late to change things up and take a few risks.
He was the bachelor, right? Not the bachelorette. Like, he wasn't, like,
I don't know if he started out as, like, a failed... Because that's normally how it works, right? They start out on the Bachelor, Bachelorette, they lose, and then they end up becoming the Bachelor. But then he also came back in another season. He's the guy that's always been circling around.
If people go on these ridiculous shows, it's because there is a lot of money to be made if you can.
This guy's buying.
He was the runner-up for Bachelorette, and he got his own show.
And then he became the Bachelor.
He was runner-up twice.
That is a way better business deal to be, because otherwise you're. your gift, your prize for winning the Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
Marriage is just
a marriage that you're everyone's watching, that you're kind of forced into.
That all end. I think, what is there, one
yes,
surviving couple,
there's,
maybe?
There's almost no one that makes it through that. If you are the runner-up, or in this case, the runner-up twice, your first house can cost $2 million.
Oh, man. He signed a deal with that sweet pin you've got in your hand right now. He said, you know what? I'm going to be a runner-up twice.
Right.
Bought it
bust out that uniball.
Looks like he bought it from the AGC, which is...
don't do that on national television.
Call me Cyclops. And finally, we were talking about some memorabilia that's been up at auction as of late, and this is maybe the most impressive. The Notorious B.I.G., if you recall that the photo album cover where he's wearing the crown and
Biggie of all time. Yeah,
and King of New York and the whole bit. He paid $6 for that plastic crown because it was just a prop for a photo shoot, right? This is back in 1997. It is now being sold at auction, just got sold for $594,000.
I don't think that's enough.
Really?
I really don't. I thought that crown would probably sell for well over a million dollars. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's an iconic piece of
hip-hop. It's a $6 piece of plastic.
But it was Biggie's, and it was in one of the most famous photographs in hip hop history.
It's iconic because it was on his head. Yeah. Now give me the head and the crown, like a mosaic piece of art somewhere, where it's like crafted on a balloon first, and then like a pinata.
Do you think they're like, how on earth is this thing worth $594,000? And you go, look at this photograph.
That's Nickelback.
Yeah. No.
What?
Don't disrespect Biggie by bringing Nickelback into this.
Stephen Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Did you think that I thought that was Biggie?
I thought you thought it was Hinder.
They're all the same.
They are all the same.
Dave and Mahoney. We never play more than 2 minutes of commercials at a time. It's called the 2 Minute Promise. Alt 107.5.
So here's the question that we have for you today, and you can hit us up by texting us or calling us at 833-YO-DUMMY on social media at Dave Mahoney. What is a romantic moment that has totally been screwed up? Maybe you were the one that was in charge of making it romantic, like when Mahoney proposed to his wife.
What are you saying that wasn't romantic about that?
The fact that you were laying in bed and didn't get out, and you made her go over to your backpack and pull the ring out.
It was part of the plan.
Herself. And
we
then,
were on a cruise.
Yeah, and then when she pulled out the ring,
she had
you didn't say, will you marry me? You just said, so you want to get married or what?
Or what? Or what?
We had been together for many years, first and foremost.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean anything.
Second of all, she would be, if I was going to pull some like cheesy, like down on one knee. Like,
that's not cheesy. That's just normal.
Like waterworks and all that. She would be like, who is this imposter?
What do you
like,
mean waterworks? You cry about everything.
I only cry over burritos when I've been drinking. Yes, that's right. The one time. But I thought it was romantic in another sense because we were talking about getting engaged because we'd been together a long time. And, you know, I knew what you wanted in a ring and stuff like that. And so we had been talking about it, and I had her kind of thrown off the scent of our engagement because I was like, when we get done with this cruise, because we were on like a 13-day cruise, and like when we get back, we'll go visit our friends, who's a jeweler, our buddy Benny, and we'll go visit him, we'll go get the ring, and we'll pick it out, and we'll go from there. And she had no idea that I had already had the ring made and I was ready. So like first night of the cruise, and we were going to be kind of just cut off from communication from all of our friends and our family for almost 2 weeks. I thought it was romantic because it's like just something that she and I could share between us, and she had no idea. And that's what I thought, the 1-2 punch of her going over to get my hard drive out of my backpack and her finding the ring box instead. I thought that was a pretty damn good move.
So Joey said, I choked on doing a public dinner proposal. A couple of nights later, she found the ring in my jacket. Standing at the end of the bed, she said, what are you going to do with this? I replied, well, no better time than now. You want to get married? The Puppet Master and I are still going strong over 18 years later.
Nice. Yeah. This one actually came through on our socials at David Mahoney from Sarah Jordan. First date, as a surprise, took me to his parents' house, and then we took a family picture.
What? Wow. The first date? No.
Are they still together? Is there any follow-up?
There's no follow-up.
No follow-up.
I think that says it all.
Okay, so
what would you do, though, in a situation where... Like, just would you go along with
yes,
it or would you bail?
No, go along
go
with it.
Go along
whatever.
With it and then, well,
and then never
ghost.
Talk to them again.
How hot are they?
Good point. You're like, can I get a large framed version of that picture? Fit right into this family.
Just crop to you, please.
So a couple here lending to the idea that you should never take a date, first date or otherwise, rock climbing. Adrian said, my girlfriend knew that I was into rock climbing and she found a spot where we could do a couple's climb and we made it all the way to the top, but soon found out that she was too scared to rappel down.
Oh, no.
Let's just say it took us a lot longer to get down than it did to get up.
I feel like rock climbing as a date is just an excuse to stare at their ass for like 90%
of
it.
Hell yes, it is.
I literally went on a double date.
You go first, babe.
I went on a double date last night with one of Andrew's, my husband's, friends. And
did he go in front or behind you?
So the thing is that Andrew kept showing him up. And I said, you have to stop. Like, I was like, he's trying
to,
like,
husband's flex in crazy
on,
good shape.
Yeah, like, flex on, like, this girl, like, shit, like, and he was like, watch this. And he's like, all the way to the top. And I was like, you cannot keep doing that.
Was it an early?
Let him have his moment.
Was it like an early date?
This is like date three for these two.
Jamie said, so I took my first date, now fiance, to do some rock climbing. It was an off-trail climb, and his dumbass wore DC skate shoes. He slipped down a mountain and almost died. He still brings it up almost 6 years later.
Listen live on demandontheradio.com app and follow at Dave and Mahoney.
So what is a romantic moment that you were supposed to be in charge of that got totally ruined? Maybe it was you that did the ruining, or perhaps it was the person that you were with. Erica said, my husband and I had a night out with the kids, and we had a great date. We came home, and he picked me up and walked me over to the bedroom. He tossed me onto the head, onto the bed, and my knee hit his mouth. My knee was bleeding. He was fine. My knee was bruised for like 2 weeks.
Yikes.
Those Muay Thai classes, you gotta ease back up off of those.
That's right.
Have you ever been in a situation with your significant other where, like, sexy time's getting ready to happen, and then you get, like they move funny or something like that, or you get hit in the giblets?
Oh.
Because that has happened, like, no less than, like, a half dozen times over the years with my wife and I, and it's really hard to recover from that.
Oh, really? Yeah. You don't just, like, kind of play it off? Is there a way of playing it off? I don't know. I don't know that
just
type
laughing
of pain.
At yourself?
No, I mean, it's funny, and you are in pain.
Well, this one actually, speaking of sexy time, this one came through again on our socials at David Mahoney. Boz Taz said, a dude asked if my nail polish matched my toes and then told me what he wanted to do to my feet if they did match.
It's a little forward. Did they say how early that was?
Why? Nice to meet you.
Also weird. Like, what do you do? Hey,
I'm all for your fetish of whatever you kind, just as long as it's between consenting adults, whatever. But why are the foot fetish people so forward? They are.
Because that's their thing.
All of the people, like I know so many different women and dudes who get, like, these crazy DMs on Instagram and Facebook from just, like, guys talking about feet. And it's always feet for whatever reason.
I don't get it. And they want to pay top dollar for the feet pics, too.
And they are forward about it. That's the thing. I'm just like, man, like, you don't hear any elbow fetish. You don't ever hear anybody getting, like, an elbow fetish. Like, hey, send me some sexy pics of them bows.
From the top rope.
Hit it like Lou to throw them bows.
Oh, Tosh said, when my husband was going to propose, he took me to Coronado Island. We stayed at a great hotel, had a great dinner, and then he wanted to stop by the room before the rest of the evening. Well, he had candles and champagne, and he had this scrapbook of our relationship, and the last page being a picture of the ring.
Oh.
Sadly, I said, I don't get it. What is going on here?
Oh, no.
And it killed the moment. Oops.
Oh, no, because he spent much time.
Oh, man.
You didn't get it.
Do you get jokes easily as well?
Why are you listening to this?
But if you're not in that mentality, I can see how that happens. See, but this is why I say you don't go over the top, man. You're setting the bar way too high. You lay in a bed, you have your wife go get the ring out of a backpack, and there you go. You have set the expectations for what that marriage is going to be from my end for the entire thing.
So Natalie said, I wasn't in charge of this, but when Chad, her fiance, proposed to her, we were at Disneyland, and as soon as we got there, he insisted we go to Fantasyland, which is not my Disney route. So I was being a brat and made him go on everything in Adventureland, Indiana Jones included, with the ring in his pocket. Finally agreed to go to damn castle with him in the afternoon, and that's when he proposed. At least he knows he's marrying a brat.
I mean, you could lose.
He had this idea he wanted to propose to her at the beginning. He had to
wait
all day.
Well, yes, you don't
want to
keep the ring in your pocket when you're on Indiana Jones. I've almost lost my phone. I've lost several chapsticks.
She's saying that she made him do all that stuff.
No, I know. I'm saying, like from his perspective, like, you better be holding on with a deft grip to that ring. But I'm also with her. We don't mess with our, you don't mess with your Disneyland route. We go Adventureland first, too. But we go.
There's a route.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We do a specific route.
We get there like right when it opens and the rope drops and we go. We've got a route.
You guys all should be married together.
You guys are ridiculous.
A thruple.
Kyle said, "Try to be romantic with my girlfriend in college. Had a dinner made, candles lit in a trail to the bedroom. Things got hot and heavy literally as we kissed. Walking into the bedroom, we tripped over a candle and the carpet caught fire."
Oh, my God.
Not doing that. We split up a couple of weeks later.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
So a romantic moment that has totally been ruined. Maybe it was you that did the ruining. Maybe it was your significant other that was trying something. Jay Sicka on Instagram said, "I once had a date take me to a local bar to eat free barbecue on a first date."
I don't hate
Thanks,
that.
Bro.
No, I
free if you food guys, on a first date.
I know. I don't
barbecue,
hate that.
Though.
I mean, if it was
good and it was free, then you should marry that man.
Yeah,
he knows how to stretch a dollar.
I don't hate that, especially if you guys are like bar people, like dive bar people. Like, I mean, it's a little Sunday fun day action, free barbecue or beers.
My guess is if it's free barbecue, it's probably not good barbecue. Just a guess.
Better than a strip club buffet.
So when I was proposing to my wife, there's this little area that's like a 20-minute drive that we were going to, and it's like beautiful scenic area outside, and like I'd really kind of gone above and beyond getting ready for this. Obviously, you know, had the ring and super excited to propose. Got a little tuxedo for her dog to wear.
Little Bailey.
So Bailey was wearing a tuxedo and a top hat. Had a little thing said, "Will you marry me?" Which was just, you know, a little side thing that was supposed to be cute. But like she was like blindfolded as we walked her out to this area. But the whole thing is that my younger brother, he's a bit of an amateur photographer, and so he's good with the camera.
I'm like,
why don't you go out there like an hour before us, get set up, and then there's this area where you could hide and like you can take pictures and kind of capture the moment, right?
Right.
And he was late.
No, he wasn't.
And so we actually pulled up to a stoplight next to him as we're driving out there.
And there's no reason for him to be
there's
out
no
that way.
Reason for him to be out that direction. Because
did you pull up next to him or did he pull up next to you? Because I feel like whoever pulled up next to the other person, that's whose fault it is.
No, so I was at the stoplight and he comes up and pulls up next to me and I'm just like, oh my God. And so I don't know if my wife actually saw him or not, but she pretended at least like she didn't. I just had to very, very, very slowly drive out there. I'm like, man, how are you going to be late for this?
Oh my gosh.
But to be fair, that's your youngest brother. We know and we love. Of course he was late.
Andy said, "I had a plan to surprise a girl that I was seeing with a nighttime drive up to go stargazing on a beautiful night. Unfortunately, I caught a flat tire while driving there, and she caught an attitude while I was changing the tire because she was just relaxing at home prior to me picking her up without notice for a surprise date, and now she's stuck outside. Tried to be spontaneous and romantic, and it failed."
Spontaneity is hard.
Yeah. You can call me a stick in the mud. I don't really love spontaneity.
Me either.
I don't like surprises. I don't like so rigid and regimented that there could be no change. But I want a loose outline of what we're going to be doing.
For sure. I need some mental preparedness.
Yes. Because if my wife were to surprise me like with a surprise hike date.
Oh, gosh. You got to get the gold bond ready.
Are we gonna get my old man Brooks on?
Yes.
I got to prepare.
Got to stretch.
I got to mentally prepare. I got to talk myself into it.
You have to not eat a burrito for lunch because if you did, that hike would be terrible later.
That's right.
Also on Instagram at Dave Mahoney KFID said, "Junior year of high school, I took this girl Lisa Brown, who I had a thing for, to see the new Steven Spielberg movie."
Which
was that? KFID?
Schindler's List.
Oh no!
Kevin Federline texted it.
No, KFIDs. KFIDs, not KFID. Yeah, KFID.
Way different. Schindler's List, a movie everyone should see, and its cultural impact was undeniable.
It is an important movie, but not on a first date in high school. Natalie said, "Pretended like my mom was calling me, so I didn't have to say I love you back the first time to my boyfriend after he said it. He is now my husband."
Did you guys, who said I love you first in your relationships? And if it wasn't you, did you respond immediately with it back?
So I don't even remember who said it first, but I'm sure that it was said back because if it wasn't, you would remember that. Because I do remember one time I was dating this girl, and she said, I love you, and I was just not there yet.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, you're awesome.
You said that
wanna,
you're awesome?
I didn't want to say I love you
you
back
did
if I didn't
little
mean
nose
it.
Boob, and you're no. boob.
I'm with you're you. It's beautiful. Be, it's way better to not. You don't say it back if you don't mean it. Because then that's when that just makes scene. Because like at
I
that
mean,
point,
if I was being honest, really honest, I would have been like, this is kind of a rebound. Boop.
Oh, I'm having secondhand anxiety for these girls. But you also, you test the waters. Like, you have to, like, see where they're at. You don't just, like, throw the I love you out without understanding that you're going to be a reciprocated feeling.
Yeah. Well, did you throw it out or did your husband throw it out
My husband threw it out first.
Yeah, did you say it immediately back?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
We were in the throes of passion.
What?
Oh,
really?
What?
Yeah.
I like that move. Yeah. So then they're
In fact, cornered. I think I've heard this story.
We can't tell that story.
No, we cannot. They're really in the throes of passion.
Was it at least set back?
A lot of passion.
Yeah, yeah. She set it back. It was aww, a nice night. That
good
was like
you,
the
man.
First night we officially became a we had been dating and you know, but that was like
that
our
was
official,
when it became official.
Yeah, consummated yeah, the official. Love.
Yeah. I love that.
And finally, Jackie
actually,
said,
it was the first time. It was our first time
hooking up.
Yeah, oh,
really.
Oh, yeah, so you yeah. really so like I love this, you so much.
This is amazing. And finally, Jackie said, I called the boyfriend the wrong name while getting it on, and now I just stick with, oh, God.
Good call.
Son of love it, mother. It's bleeped. Bull.
So Bleep BS is a game that we play that nothing that's being said in any of these clips dirty whatsoever. However, because there's some strategically placed bleeps, it can take your mind to a different place. So we're just trying to figure out what's actually being talked about in these clips. So there's, you know, different celebrities that are talking. And again, just trying to determine. So I'm going to give you the setup of what it could be. I'll play you the audio and then I'll give you a multiple choice. Ring in when you think you know the correct answer by saying your name. Okay.
Okay.
So first up, we have Drew Barrymore. And you're trying to figure out what she says she will never do again. Let's have a listen.
I will never, with a capital N-E-V-E-R, never get it's like I have two options. It. This has not worked. Or Elizabeth Taylor. Never want to someone like that again, ever.
Oh, wow.
What will she never do again? A, act in a Netflix original series. B, do drugs. C, get married.
Mahoney. Audrey.
Mahoney first.
Because the Elizabeth Taylor reference in there, I'm going to have to say get married again.
Get married again is correct. Mahoney on the board.
And if we remember, she was married to Tom Green famously at the peak of her career.
Right. And Tom Green, as it turns out, awesome guy.
I mean, Tom Green.
Just a great guy. He's been on this radio show a handful of times. Really, really nice dude. And I don't know if you follow him on social media. He just adopted this little puppy from a shelter.
Oh, really?
And they're like best of buds. He's still funny. Like, he's not one of those burnout guys who's mad that, you know, his show ended up going away and everything else. He's just always had a good attitude. He's just very Canadian.
Yeah.
He's very, very Canadian.
I think that explains everything right there. He is just a good, solid, wholesome Canadian. And I do love me some Drew Barrymore, too. She's got a new TV
talk show, right?
Yeah. So I'm actually intrigued by that. Like, I will give that a watch. I'll certainly give that more of a view than Ellen.
Here we go on to number two. This is Chris Hemsworth, and you're trying to figure out what Chris
He's Thor, right? Not the other Hemsworth? Because that's Liam.
Right, yeah.
Who was married to
Thor, yes.
Yeah, Thor.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth. What is Chris helping with? Here we go.
I've been telling you all morning, I'm in the horse capital of Australia, but I was yet to find a horse. So I thought I should hot foot it up to one of the horse studs.
Heard you talk about horses. There's a bunch down here, actually, which are in the paddock.
I often get teased about not having the best skills. I want to out.
All right. So Chris Hemsworth, what is he helping with? A, an expose on horse breeding. B, a weather report. C, a story on the wildfires.
Audrey.
Oh,
it's got to be like horse breeding, right? No, it's not.
It is not.
I read too much into the horse.
It's not a horse breeding story?
No, it is not.
Okay, at least you're there with
Mahoney,
me.
What are the other two options?
Exactly.
A weather report or a story on the wildfires?
Gotta be wildfires.
Right? That's the only other option.
Nope.
No, that was weather report.
Weather report. Weather
what does horse dong and weather reports have anything to
it's
do with
it? It's Australia,
what?
Man. It's different over there.
Yeah, that's what's.
Why is he
that's
Chris
the weather
Hemsworth
is created.
On for the weather report?
I mean, they do what they do on Telemundo. I mean, you roll out some really good looking weather reporters. So, I mean, put Chris Hemsworth in a really tight outfit. I'll watch whatever.
Doesn't it seem like Chris Hemsworth is a little bit too big of a star to be helping with like a local weather report?
That's what I was kind of though. I would have not thought
under.
That.
Down Under.
Well, he's from
Down
there.
Under.
And so right. Here we go on to number three. Mahoney, you have a point. Audrey, you have none. If you get this one, then you win because you know tie will go to you. But Mahoney, you get this one, and obviously you're going to take it down.
Sweet. Dave, they said he's the god of thunder, so he probably knows a little bit about weather.
Oh, that's why it's a weather report.
Thor
got it now. Willie Nelson, he said he admitted to something he did on the top of the White House. This is Willie Nelson admitting to something he did on the top of the White House.
He admitted in a documentary that one of his sons you on the roof of the White House. Is that true? And what do you remember about that? And
no, it's a true story. I had a little on top of the White House and also got to go down to down there and I'm in the Lincoln bedroom.
Okay.
What did he do on the top of the White House? A, have relations. B, smoke weed. C, play a short acoustic set.
Audrey. No.
Mahoney for the win.
I heard the M.
Willie Nelson probably did bang it out in the Lincoln bedroom, but I guarantee you he smoked it out first.
You got it.
That was during the Carter administration.
Wait, he got high with Jimmy Carter?
His son.
Oh. Who's Jimmy Carter's son? Is he famous?
Do we know Jimmy? No.
I mean, he's Jimmy Carter's
Jimmy
son.
Carter. No, I know. I just didn't know if, like,
if he was like Lou Carter and that was a famous person.
No, but like, I mean, if he was like doing bong rips with like Chelsea Clinton, I would know who that is. It's just Jimmy Carter's son. He's not somebody famous, right?
I don't think okay. so.
He was someone to smoke weed with.
Is Vince Carter?
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
What's the man? Jimmy boy.
I don't know. This is a little scary. Any escaped inmates, bad, right? I mean, nobody wants to run into one or two or certainly three or four or
Anytime
five.
Anytime you hear about an outbreak or a prisoner on the loose, like the communities go into lockdown, they shut down, people lose their minds as, you know, there's dangerous criminals who've escaped, you know, or who are out there. We don't know where they are. Yeah, so I see why people freak out.
I'm about to up the ante. 200 inmates escaping simultaneously.
That's not good.
They just leave the door open?
Let's go one more. 200 naked inmates.
Where were
escaped.
Their clothes?
Where are all your clothes? This is in Uganda. They stripped and fled into a remote wilderness in the country's northeast. The prisoners were all, quote, hardcore criminals who were jailed.
Oh, for... I'm glad you added the core in there. It's like, this is, oh my God!
This could not be worse. They took their clothes off to avoid being spotted in their distinctive yellow uniforms and ran into the foothills, an underpopulated area that the spokeswoman described as a wilderness, and that's where the story ends so far.
Is this how prisons got the term penal colony?
That's funny. That's funny.
Have you guys seen the Inside the World's Toughest Prison show on Netflix?
No, I have not. I used to watch Oz on HBO, though, so I feel like I know a lot about prison life.
That ain't Russia, though, man. Or like Uganda. Yeah, they're crazy prisons out there.
No, it's actually... It's really interesting to watch because you get it from an inside perspective. So it's this guy who goes in, blah, blah, blah. He is actually showing you what these crazy prisons are like. And a lot of them, it's two prison guards amongst a ton of people who are like actually like in jail. So it's easy just to kind of say, hey, excuse me, we're going to strip and run outside of this prison right
we're
now and escape.
Them?
Yeah.
Can you imagine anything worse than going to, say, a Russian prison?
No,
or a Chinese prison.
Maybe North Korean prison.
Korean prison, yeah, sure.
Just anywhere that's third world, essentially, like, is you don't really get a bed. A lot of them sleep on the floor on concrete.
So any form of incarceration for me, probably not optimal.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If I mean, to eat any of that food would actually make me probably turn my insides into outsides.
Mahoney has an extraordinarily pretty mouth.
He does.
I have to sleep on a very soft mattress.
He wouldn't even do well in federal prison.
White collar,
like a white collar crime.
Too stupid to commit a white collar crime.
You can't even
stay
at a Hampton Inn. I mean, so every year
I gotta bring my own pillows. Are they gonna allow me to bring my own pillows into prison?
Famed whiskey writer Jim Murray looks for the best whiskey in the world. Mm-hmm. They announce which one it is. It's part of the newest version of the Whiskey Bible that gets put out. Canada took the crown this year, specifically Mahoney, you're the whiskey aficionado around here, mm-hmm. the Alberta Premium Cask Strength Rye. that 65.1% ABV.
Strong.
100% Prairie Rye is made in Calgary at the Alberta Distilleries. The brand is also the same one that provides Whistlepig and Masterson's, and we're big Whistlepig fans.
We have been fans of Whistlepig for many years, and that's one of the, when Dave Pickerel, the guy who helped co-found Whistlepig, the Whistlepig distillery, found all of this amazing Canadian rye, and it was from these guys up there in Alberta. And so I haven't tried this one that they've offered from the Alberta Distilling Company, but Whistlepig, I think, is one of the absolute best, best whiskeys out on the market right now. And so I'm glad to see rye getting its comeuppance, because for many years, and I had the same kind of distorted view of rye when it came to whiskey for many years, that it was kind of for drunks.
It's strong.
Or maybe we've just become drunks.
Or maybe that too.
That could be it, yes. Also taking top honors, the mind-blowing, as they put it, Stag Junior Barrel Proof. It earned second place. It's a big win for Canada, but like you said,
Stag, yeah.
It's funny how whiskey has become much like craft beer was a decade ago, where it just used to be beer, and then all of a sudden craft beers exploded and everyone really started to educate themselves. And now most people that I know have like different flavor profiles of beers that they like.
You've got Scotch, you've got Irish whiskey, you've got Japanese whiskey, Stag Junior, which I've got a bottle of, which I hate to hear that it took home number two, because it's going to become even harder to find. Yep. It's from our friends down there at Buffalo Trace down in Kentucky, so not too shabby for them, but it's just going to make it that much harder to find.
And finally, Heidi Klum had a rather scary moment. A strange man showed up at her house claiming to be Jesus.
Dude, it's just people stop being weird.
Stop it. The incident went down last week.
You've had your shot.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I think my mental age is right about 21, because I'm still like in that college zone where, I can do really good on a test, but I'm also in that zone where I act like I don't know any better.
Message deleted.
What is your mental age, Mahoney?
Retired. So 65 plus. I'm hopefully 72, so I could collect my full Social Security benefit. That's where my mental age is right now.
Audrey?
I feel like I'm on the cusp, because I really want to go to bed at 7 o'clock, and I really like that, and I'm not in my party phase, but I think I'm like mentally acting and dressing younger than I did at even 24. So
You bought a Von Dutch
hat. So I'm 22 in the year 2002.
Von Dutch hat.
Yeah. It is so sweet. You guys back up.
No, it's really sweet.
You can wear it because you're attractive. That's why that works. Like, nobody else, like Dave and I wear that, we're going to get punched in the face.
And rightfully so.
Just by every stranger we see.
I'll
punch it.
No, I think I'm 22 in 2002.
22 in 2002. Ian, your mental age?
I would say 17. I know the difference between right and wrong, but I'm just going to do whatever I want.
And hopefully not be charged as an adult?
Hopefully. Depending on what county
it's
I'm
close.
In.
So what about you, Dave? You've got three kids.
Yeah.
You've got a wife.
I'd say 32, where like I'm not totally cool with being 40, but at the same time, I have to be responsible. I'm the sort of person that, depending on the level of responsibility that is necessary, right? Like, I'm totally down for being the guy that, like, looks out for my friend and makes sure that he doesn't get, run into a buzzsaw and get arrested for the night. But at the same time, if everyone's just like, hey, let's rip it up and get totally drunk, I'm down for that, too.
So I was talking to a friend the other day, and they threw this out there, and I thought it was a pretty interesting take on how you meet people and, like, your perception of them, because, how we all perceive each other is differently. But he said that meeting somebody, or anybody he's met, or anybody he's known for a long time, they're still the same age
mentally to him as when they very first met.
When they first met, yeah.
Which I feel like that's kind of how it is for, like, when I think about all of my friends I've known for 30-plus years, I still think of us kind of in those early teenage years.
The problem that you have, Mahoney, is that everyone still expects you to be young, single Mahoney. So they expect the Mahanimal to come out every time. And, like, you've gotten older, right? And so you're not always like, yeah, I want to get totally blackout drunk and pass out on the street and have to get rescued by a fireman.
Sloth. Yeah. The slothy version of an animal.
I mean, that still happens once every few years.
Quarterly.
Special occasions, like presidential elections, you know. It's like once every 4 years I have to be revived by an EMT.
In your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
When the firefighter shows up and goes, hey, man, you better get up and get your ass home.
Shout out to that firefighter for helping me not get arrested. You're the real MVP.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I just sliced my finger open trying to cut an avocado.
Ooh.
It just goes to show you eating healthy isn't worth it.
Message deleted.
Oh, man, I cut my finger open the other day. I was in the garage and I was putting up one of those racks like on the ceiling, which are awesome once you get them up.
You get the stuff off the garage floor.
And it's hanging up above.
I hired somebody to mine.
Yeah, I should have hired somebody because with the measuring tape.
Yeah.
Oh, did you cut yourself with the measuring tape?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sliced my finger out. She's like,
oh, no.
My wife opens the door. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm dying. I'm bleeding to death. And then it really wasn't that bad. But it just looked like, because it started bleeding pretty profusely right away. And then I went and washed it off. I was like, maybe I was being a little dramatic about
it. I was cutting peppers the other day, sliced my finger. And now every time I wash my hair keeps getting caught in the cut. Pulling the skin back. I'm like, oh, my whole finger. We just gotta take it away at this point.
Let's do something awful. Real quick.
Yeah.
Let's rank cuts.
Okay.
What's the worst cut? Is it a cardboard cut?
Cardboard cut's pretty bad. That happened not too long ago.
Plastic cut from that thing that, for whatever reason, they put things in there that you can never open?
Yeah. You buy a new head for your toothbrush and it's impossible to get it open?
Like, why is it in such strong plastic?
Why?
Or let's go with the measuring tape cut.
The metal cut is the worst. And, I mean, even worse than all of those things is the knife. Because when you... you see the knife just into your finger.
But you don't feel it, though, with the knife sometimes.
Because it's so clean.
And then you sit there and you wash it off and you put the paper towel on it. And then you feel it go.
No, it's always the worst whenever all of us have worked in the service industry. Whenever you're cutting up lemons or limes and you get that cut.
Oh, the lemon or lime. And then you have to put the little finger condom on and you got everyone's table. They're like, your finger's getting laid, huh? Okay.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Thinking back as a kid, I can't believe I used to refuse taking more than one bath during the day as a kid, knowing how dirty I used to get. Man, I really took baths and showers for granted as a kid.
Message deleted.
More than one bath a day as a kid, that feels excessive.
That does feel excessive.
But comfortable.
Honestly, if you had somebody now offering to bathe you at any time, you wouldn't take them up on it?
No?
I don't think so. I like standing in the shower reflecting on how many bad decisions I've made.
You stand and do that? I sit.
Oh, yeah. Not really stand. It's more like lean. You like lean into it and you're just like...
What's wrong with you guys?
Let the water wash my shame off me.
Never works, does it?
No.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand.
So this guy just loves himself a good naked bike ride. And Mahoney, you mentioned it a moment ago, but Ian, you're a fan of the naked bike ride. Was there anything that you found that was a little too, was the seat a little more aggressive when you were naked, or was it about the same as if you were wearing shorts?
Dave, bicycle seats are always more aggressive when you're naked. My biggest complaint about naked bike rides, don't get so close to me. You know, other bike riders, if don't rub up on my thighs.
Do you wear shoes when you are on the naked bike ride?
I wore shoes. I did see others go completely nude, though, which, again, we've all caught in pedals to the shins before, but getting one of those naked.
You remember sticking baseball cards into your spokes?
I used to put an aluminum can.
Yeah, that's... Did you wear socks with your shoes?
Yes, I did.
Okay. This guy also had some pieces of clothing that were involved in his naked bike ride, but a little different. So he is booked into the Broward County Jail as John Smith, even though they found out that wasn't his real name. So this is what happened. So this guy who was booked in as Smith, he's 38 years old.
Or did he just watch Pocahontas on Disney Plus?
Ooh.
he was seen riding a bike naked at 6:27 p.m. on Thursday of last week. He stopped at an adult boutique where he put on a pair of underwear, like assless underwear, so his butt cheeks were still out.
Isn't that just a jock strap?
And then, basically.
Yeah. And then did they actually describe it as assless underwear?
A thong.
Yeah. It's a jock strap.
Pretty much.
Or a thong, yes.
He offered the employee his bicycle as payment, to which the employee said, I don't think I can do that. He just walked out of the store with his assless underwear on, and he walked up and down Wilton Drive, eventually removing his bottomless underwear, so he was just totally naked. And he stood at a busy intersection for all to see until the police arrived to cover him up. When they questioned him, he first refused to give his name, and then he said he was Michael Jackson.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Did he go?
And he took off his.
That's the size I can
his
get.
Underwear. Really? That's you can go higher.
Try it. See, there you go.
That was the same.
That was better. You thought that was the same?
Yeah.
Do you think would it count? So, Ian, you've done the naked bike rides. What if I could I show support by doing a naked Peloton ride?
Of course,
from
you
my
can.
House and.
Your wife just comes
virtually
streaming. Like,
yeah, just FaceTime.
I think my
I
wife
want a
would,
divorce.
She would just leave me. Just burn. She'd just set the Peloton on fire.
So Mark Johnson is lucky to be alive to tell his tale. He's a 61-year-old guy from Florida. He was attacked by an alligator behind his home. He said he was out walking his dog Rex near a canal when all of a sudden he noticed an alligator at the water's edge. The gator noticed them and lunged. Johnson yelled for Rex, his golden retriever, to go on and get home, and he obeyed. Unfortunately for Mark, his shoe, which happened to be a croc, got stuck in the mud.
Oh, no.
And the gator grabbed a hold of his leg. And if you can imagine the suction of a croc in mud and your foot just, you ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
Johnson wrestled with the gator on the ground, was able to poke it in the eye with two index fingers. That's when it released its grip and swam away. He contacted the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and a nuisance trapper was unable to locate the gator, which is now missing an eye, I imagine. Like the one from Happy Gilmore. Yeah,
see, the problem here, this gator, not seen enough Three Stooges, because we all know how to stop the two fingers coming to the eye.
You just put a little
the hand right on the nose.
That little gator arm just right up in between.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
Guys, Kanye West has asked his political staff not to have adult relations. He requested that staffers working on his very long shot presidential bid abstain from having relations outside of marriage. And he said that you must not fornicate outside of marriage. Running under the birthday party, West has failed to make the ballot in several states, including Ohio, Montana, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. So far, he has been given ballot access in Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Tennessee, Utah, and Mississippi. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you saw the picture of him, you know, urinating on his Grammy. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, dude, this guy needs so much help. Like, the people that are
posting
that are,
pictures of his contract as well.
That are playing towards him, his friends that should be like, showing levels of concern, no pun intended. It sucks, man. Like, I feel bad for the guy, and also
he's mentally ill.
Yeah,
and he needs help. And there's people out there who are exploiting him for money.
Yeah,
I'm actually.
It's not right, and he's getting used by not only his, you know, the people in his in the business world, but in the political world too, man. Like, you are doing a lot of damage. They're doing a lot of damage to him, and it's gonna. I hope it doesn't end poorly.
I would like to hope. I mean, no matter what we think about the Kardashians and the Jenner family and Kris, I would like to hope that they are not exploiting him on his mental health. I really don't think that. I mean, as the father of your children.
Those are the people I'm not a fan of Kris Jenner whatsoever, but I don't think it's them. I think it's his other business partners, because he's not traditionally a focal point on Keeping Up with the Kardashians like that. No.
It's all these idiots that are supporting this ridiculous presidential campaign that obviously is going nowhere. Because he's unraveling in front of everyone's eyes. But the fact that people are still showing up and lying to him, being like, yeah, you're going to win. You're going to win. This is great. Let's
keep this going.
Yeah, you're like, what are you guys doing?
Well, you got to think, though, how hard would it be to tell Kanye West no? You can't do this, Kanye.
If you truly cared, you could.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
at least take a shot at it, you know, instead of showing up.
Maybe, hopefully people are. He's just not listening.
So Derek Jeter's house that he has been renting to Tom Brady is up for sale in Tampa, and it's okay. Now, it's going for $29 million.
In Tampa?
Yep.
A $29 million house in Tampa?
It is 30,875 square feet. 7 bedrooms, 16 bathrooms, 8 full, 8 half.
Can't I buy Tampa for $30 million?
Saltwater lap pool and a pretty awesome bar. It also has its own gym, wine cellar, and movie theater. Overlooks the Hillsborough Bay down there. I mean, it's Ooh. It is very nice, but a $30 million house in Tampa, you're like, come on, man.
It's got a moat, doesn't it?
If it had a moat, it would be maybe worth $30 million, but it does not have a moat, so get out of here with that.
It is on the waterfront, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I see Tom Brady putting down roots long term in Tampa.
You just don't
call it a hunch.
Yeah. Let's see how this season goes.
Week
number one was kind of tough. Kind of tough for old TB12.
$30 million. What do you expect to be in that home?
He's still the goat. Ooh. But yeah, man, there's certain times when it's like time to call it a day.
Do you know who I could see buying this house? Gronk.
No, Gronk would never buy that house because Gronk is good with his money.
Dude, he's just going to be in just like some regular neighborhood wearing Sam's Club clothes.
That's why I love Gronk, man.
So, it's so strange that he's the one that's good with his money.
I love it.
Yeah.
It, man.
Somebody else's playground still in the backyard.
You know what I really hope?
Kids are going to still see some of that football money.
Is that Derek Jeter sells this house and Tom Brady refuses to move and squats in it and they have to evict him.
Aww.
And finally, Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather is a go. Okay.
No, it's not. For real?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's happening.
Really? Yeah. This isn't just publicity?
No.
Nope. They're saying that it is going to happen. It's going to happen sometime this winter. Specific date, other details yet to be determined. But, with Logan Paul, in the words of Ivan Drago, if he dies, he dies.
Dave, this is going to be the biggest boxing match ever.
You think this is going to be bigger than Conor McGregor?
I don't think so. Going down in history, like when you think like Ali Frazier, you think Foreman versus Ali, things like that. But when we talk about sheer amounts of money, this is going to be a multi-billion-dollar fight.
You think this could be bigger than Conor McGregor?
This will be bigger than Conor.
No way.
This will be
I'm
bigger
not
than. This will be. I'm paying for it because here's the thing: doesn't matter who loses. Everybody wins. Like, I'm not a Mayweather fan. I think he's a garbage
person.
Wouldn't
it be awesome if Mayweather got knocked out by Logan Paul? Not going to happen.
Dave,
impossible.
I mean, they're probably not even going to take odds on this.
No, for sure they are. They're going to hang odds.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, because Logan Paul's a big guy, and Mayweather is basically a featherweight, you know.
Compared to Mayweather,
Mayweather's like 136 pounds, like, you know, when he's at fighting shape.
What is Logan
Paul? And Logan
Paul's
probably like 185, 190, and that's a big difference in the boxing world. Mayweather's going to whoop his ass up and down the street.
How are they even going to be able to do that?
It's just an exhibition.
Okay. So just like how Mayweather fought over in Japan. But here's the thing. Mayweather, say what you want about the guy, he is probably the most brilliant business boxer of all time. The fact that his last couple of fights have been against these huge names, especially Conor McGregor, the guy over in Japan, and now you're going to fight one of the biggest stars on YouTube, and they have zero chance in the world, and he's going to make $100+ million.
He's literally fighting three people that have no real professional boxing experience
and still making millions and millions,
hundreds of millions of dollars every time he goes out.
So what's the payout? Like,
Mayweather made $250 million
on the Conor McGregor fight.
Do we not know what he would be making if he fights Logan Paul?
We'll see what it is.
It depends on the pay-per-view because he gets a big chunk of that. So we don't know until it's all said and done. But I don't think it's going to be as big as Conor McGregor.
I think you bring
in all those UFC fans.
Dude, I think you
everyone talk
YouTube.
Themselves.
No, everybody who's watching Logan Paul on YouTube doesn't even have the money to pay for pay-per-view.
But so here's the thing. Logan Paul is doing a million-plus pay-per-view buys anyway when he was fighting the last guy that he fought.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
So there's going to be a ton of eyes on this. It's going to cost $100+ million, and we're all going to be suckers and pay for it. At least I know I am, because I would love to see Mayweather lose his perfect record to Logan Paul, even though I know that's not going to happen.
We're going to Mahoney's house for that.
Yeah, we're coming over to your place. Or at least watching through the window.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means the sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.